Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom. Plain and simple. As always, it's an honor and it's a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the word of God together. I want you to know it's not no accident that you showed up here tonight. And I want you to know that God has a word for his people. I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule and meeting up on Wednesday night. The title of our lesson tonight is, God is to be trusted. And it had a subtitle, Are You Willing to Give Your Last? We are coming out of the book of 1 Kings, and we're in the 17th chapter. As always, I play a song, come back, we go to the throne of grace in prayer, and we study the word together. Be prayerful for our Bible study, that God can do a wonderful thing through his word in our hearts and mind on tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and play this song, and it fits right in with the program because it's saying, if you trust him, you will learn how to step aside. Listen to it. It's written by Tamela Main, and when we come back, we're going to go to the throne and explore the word of God tonight together. Thank you. Yes, and that was Step Aside. I chose that song tonight because the title of our lesson is God is to be Trusted. And then it has another part of it that says, Are you willing to give your last? We're coming out of 1 Kings, and I encourage everyone who have a Bible to get their Bible because, remember, this is Bible study. We're coming out of the book of 1 Kings, and we're going to expound on the 17th chapter. At this time, we have to go to the throne of grace in prayer. And if anyone would like to lead us in prayer tonight, you may press the one button on your phone, and I'll open a mic, and you can lead us to the throne of grace. You know, the Bible teaches us that we should pray in all things, not some things. We should pray and make our supplications be known unto God, because God is faithful, and he wants to hear from you. Even though a lot of people tell me, well, Sister Diane, if God knew everything, why is it necessary for me to pray? He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to have a one-on-one relationship with you. And that's the reason. Well, I'll lead us in prayer, and then we'll come back and get into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again you have allowed us to come together to explore your word. Lord, and for that I say thank you. Lord, I know it's not an accident that we are here tonight, dear God. And Lord, I pray that you allow your Holy Spirit to open up the eyes, the hearts, and the minds of your people that they could receive what thus saith the Lord. Not only that we'll receive it, dear God, but that we will become doers of the word. Lord, I ask a special blessing upon all of the callers on the phone and on the internet, dear God, and the other countries that are where the people are calling through. Bless each and every one of us, dear God, and the blessings that we are needing. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, for allowing me to go before your people in word. Lord, I thank you, and I don't take it lightly. And I pray that you get the glory and the honor on this study on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, so many callers has called in, and so I'm going to say the title of the lesson one more time, and we're going to go to the background. Many people are talking all day about the election that happened on last night, and everybody had things in their heart and their mind that they wanted, you know, to receive for the outcome. You know, some victories were achieved, and, you know, in some areas it's the business as usual. But I have to tell you tonight that God is in control, and he do things on his own time. But you got to remember that he loves his children, and he will make a crooked road straight. He opened doors no one can open, and he shut doors. He opened doors that no one could open, and he shut doors so that no one can open them back up. But God is a good God, a faithful God. He have all of our best interests at heart, and he's going to handle it. So as the record says, just step aside. We have to learn how to step aside. You know, we have to learn how to take ourselves out of the way. We have to learn how to line our thoughts up with the word of God, because that's where our success lies. And I'm not telling you it's going to make you be perfect. I'm not telling you you're not going to make other mistakes. But when the Bible teaches about us being sinless, it didn't mean that we could be sinless, but it's asking us to learn to sin a little less today than we did on yesterday. Let us be sinless conscious in our mind. Because the Bible never told you that the things that's going to change in your life, that you can make it happen, but it is God that worketh in us. God said he worked from the inside out. He says it's his job to get his pleasure out of your life, but you got to step aside and allow him to do it. Our lesson tonight, like I said, is in 1 Kings, and always we have a background. So one of the characters in the 1 Kings 17 is the prophet Elijah. So I'm going to do a little background on Elijah, and then we're going to explore the scriptures. The prophet Elijah is one of the most interesting and colorful persons of all biblical characters. Yes, his life was so filled with turmoil that we might say that he was up one day and down the next. You see, Elijah was at times bold and decisive, and at other times fearful and unsure. There are ways in which Elijah demonstrated the power of God, and then he plunged into depression. You see, when we look at all of these men and women of God and the examples that God put in the Bible for us to learn from, do the things that they did that gave the best results, and don't do the things that they did that would give unfavorable results. But they are humans just like us. You see, in the Old Testament, a prophet was a spokesperson for God. The prophet astonished, warned, directs, he encouraged, and he intercedes. He also teaches, and at times he counsels. That was the job of a prophet. In the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. But because of sin from Adam, God did not have a relationship with a one-on-one relationship with which I was speaking about earlier, that we have. They couldn't go to God for themselves. That's why they had priests and prophets. But a prophet was the man of God that God gave the message to the prophet to give to the people. And when the people needed something, they went to the man of God, the prophets or the priests, and asked them to go to God on their behalf. But look where we at now, when we could go to God for ourselves, and yet many times we don't spend or give God the time that he deserves. You see, the prophet would bring the word of God to the people of God and call for the people to respond. You know, plenty of people say, are they prophets now? Some say yes, some say no. But the Bible says to know if a prophet is true or false. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy 18 and 22 which states, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, saying whatever he spoke, if it don't come true and it don't come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it from his own mind. Now, I got to throw this point in here. I get questioned a lot of times on this particular scripture because they say, you know a prophet is true if what he prophesied come to pass. But, you know, prophecies don't always happen in a little short period of time. You know, in the Old Testament, they talked about Jesus coming, and it didn't happen till over 4,000 years later. But that's what the scripture said, and if the prophet speak, which is true. Now, those prophets that spoke about things, about Jesus coming, even though it took that long, there were several prophecies that they spoke that came in a short period of time. But that's what the scripture says, and that's how you could tell if a prophet is true or false. And God say, if he's speaking from his own mind, you don't even have to fear that prophet. You see, God appointed Elijah to go in the desert region before the kings, bringing the message of warning and repentance. You see, Elijah did not seek to be God's messenger. Instead, God chose him. That's what's happened in our lives. Because God has a design and a purpose for all of our lives, and he calls us for them. Could be something you never thought about, that that's where you was going. You know, how many people say, I went to college to be, you know, whatever, and then it was laid on their heart to be a nurse. So things like that. Elijah didn't set out to be a messenger. Instead, God chose him. You see, by speaking the prophecies of God, he made fierce enemies. But his enemies could not overpower him because God was with him. All of this is God is letting us see through the word of God what he has for our life. You see, what they say, they could not overpower him because God was with him. That's how God is with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? You see, Elijah is one of the best known prophets to the Jews because they were expecting Elijah to return someday. Because Malachi 5, 4, 5, and 6 says, as Elijah was taken up to heaven and apparently never saw death. Many of you know, I know, that Elijah was one of the people that never tasted death. There's two people in the Bible like that. Elijah is one of them, and the other one is Enoch. They walked straight with God, and they were not seen anymore. And then there's a scripture in 2 Kings 2, 11 and 12. 2 Kings 2, 11 and 12. And it says, and it came to pass, as they still went on and walked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horse of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven. Now, that's some information for you guys on Elijah. But you know the rule of thumbs is if you have more knowledge about Elijah, use that for your study. Build on what you get. So, you know, you could have the completeness and you could be able to put a precept upon a precept and you'll be able to take it to another level because how far and how fast you go, it depends on you. So, it depends on you. So we're going into the lesson now, 1 Kings 17th chapter. And the word of God reads as this, and Elijah the Tittite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, you know, Ahab was the king. Now, you could, if you want to study Elijah, you could go to 1 Kings 17 chapter, because this is the first time we are hearing about Elijah and his story evolves as you get into the other chapters of 1 Kings and 2 Kings. But this would be a good place for you to start. And Ahab was the king. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, they shall not be dew nor rain these days, but according to my word. Now, this is Elijah talking to the king. In verse 2, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, 3, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherethet. that is before the Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of God. For he went and dwelled by the brook of Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. That's the scripture. God called Elijah. He went to the king. There was going to be a famine in the land, but God is showing him here what to do. You see, God never leaves his people in the dark. He used his prophets to tell people what he was going to do, whether good or bad. We can believe this because the scripture says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. You find that in Amos 3 and 7. You see, we first meet Elijah when he suddenly appeared to challenge the king, King Ahab. And he was such an evil king who ruled the northern kingdom. Elijah prophesied a drought to come upon the land as the consequence for the king being evil. You see, here God uses Elijah the prophet to announce the punishment and warn the Israelites to change their ways. King Ahab, according to the Bible, was one of the most powerful rulers. Many considered him to be the worst ruler that ancient Israel ever had. And you know, to let you know who King Ahab was, he was the one that was married to Jezebel. His wife Jezebel was so evil that she has come to symbolize revengeful, malice, immoral, cruel things in her life that she's known for throughout history. If Jezebel wasn't nothing nice. You see, when people call you a Jezebel, which is not your name, they are saying that you have moral issues and you know, you practice evilness. You know, as King Ahab's wife. So, you know, when they say, oh, look at that Jezebel. Jezebel in the Old Testament was just that bad that she put a, well, come think about it right now, she put her name became a word in the dictionary. Jezebel. You see, when the king married Jezebel, he became the first Israelite king in the Bible who aligned himself to heathenism, idolatry, barbaric worship of false gods, and was just plain evil. That was a time in Israel. You know, we look at what was going on. You know, we don't have kings, but we have presidents, and that's the kind of ruler and leader that Ahab was. It was trying time for the people. And God, when he had enough, he sent his prophet Elijah to tell him, you know, I'm going to let a drought be on the land because you just don't want to do the right thing. You know, if you look at another leader of people in the Bible, when they talk about Pharaoh in Egypt and how he had suppressed the Israelites and made them slaves and mistreated them. But when God got enough, He raised up his prophet Moses, sent him to Egypt to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You see, so God is in control. There's a scripture somewhere in the Bible says that God has the heart of the kings in his hand, and he guides and allows them to flow wherever he wants. So we have to remember that when we look at, you know, current situations and things going on. God is in control. You see, this scripture let us know that Elijah did not seek to be God's messenger, as I said earlier, but God chose him for the job. You might say they had so many people back then, why Elijah? Because it was a part of God's master plan. You might ask yourself, okay, I'll use me. I could ask myself, how on Wednesday night God allowed me to come before his people with Bible study. It's just a part of his plan. You know, not that I'm so good, not that I do everything right, but God sees fit to do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. And that's just the way he planned it. You see, once called, Elijah did not hesitate. Seeing God knows everything about you, so he know what he could use you for. He knows who's going to say yes, and he knows who's going to say no. He knows who's not going to even pay attention to the Spirit as it speaks to them to try to lead them and guide them to where they go. He knows everything. That's why he's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. And he's omnipotent because he has all power in his hand. That's his characteristic. That's his attribute. And he don't change. When he called Elijah, he didn't hesitate to take on the mission. Even though it appeared that his life would be threatened by the wicked kings, Elijah set out to deliver the announcement to the king. Then God sent Elijah into hiding as the drought dried up the streams, and all of the crops in the nation were destroyed because of the drought. But God told Elijah where to go. He said they're going to have a stream over there. The bird going to come every morning and every evening and bring you bread and meat. Don't tell me what my God can't do. Whenever God has something for you to do, he never set you up to fail. You see, warned by God, Elijah hides near the brook of Cherethet, where he is fed by the raven. All of God's assignments have provisions attached. Hallelujah. That's powerful. All that God has for you to do has provisions attached. God never asks you to do anything without providing the provisions, you know, necessary to fulfill the intended purpose. And God never asks you to do anything beyond your abilities. See, he knows all of our abilities. And he don't set you up to fail. You see, God knows what you need to get the job done. God sent him, and the provisions was there waiting for him. He didn't send him there and say the raven going to come in 2 weeks or 3 weeks maybe. You see, God is always working things out for our good. And you need to know that no weapon that forms against you will prosper. When one door closes, God has the power, always willing and able to open another one. But I have to ask you tonight, can you trust him? Do you believe that he could do it? And is he enough for you? And as the song said earlier tonight, you got to step aside. You see, sometimes we step in and we mess something up, or we lean to our own understanding and we just get that trouble in our mind and our heart and we mess up and we make wrong decisions. Hallelujah, and the beat goes on. But you got to trust him. And when I'm looking at verse 7 now, I'm going to read 7 all the way to 14, and it says, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zion, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain me." 10. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." Watch this, y'all. 12. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the barrel, and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." She's saying, "That's all I got. And there's no way I could get more. Everything was dried up. No water, no crops." She said, "That's all I have." And then verse 13, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou sayest. But make me therefore a little cake first, hey, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son." And verse 14 says, For thus saith the Lord of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste," meaning it ain't gonna never be empty, "neither shall the cruse of oil fail," he say, "until the day that the Lord sent it rain upon the earth." You see, as the drought and famine in the land deepened, Elijah met with the widow. In the neighboring country. She apparently knew about Elijah and his faith in God, but this must have been hard for the widow. Not only did he want some of the not enough that she had, but he wanted her to feed him first and after make some for her and her son. She agreed to take care of the prophet, even though she had no money and only enough food for her and her son to eat their final meal. So with that being said, the question is, are you willing to give your last? You see, she trusted Elijah when he said she trust in God. You see, she knew a little bit about Elijah, and she knew less about God. But Elijah told her that she could, if she do this, just trust God. And you see, by her doing it, it produced faith. Come on now, y'all. You see, when genuine faith is tested, it brings glory to God and work for the good of the believer. Genuine faith is tested, and it brings glory to God, and it works on the behalf of the believer. So this scripture, well, this writing is telling us we have to have genuine faith. We can't fake it till we make it. We can't take our faith and put it on a shelf. We can't take our faith and have faith only when it fits our agenda. But genuine faith brings glory to God, and it works for the good of the believer. You see, when we look at this widow woman, you see, she didn't have complete faith in God at this time. We now have to move we have to move and realize and look at it for what it is. And we have to move sometime even though we don't fully understand. But if you keep trusting God, keep walking in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you that you can and will understand it by and by. You see, Elijah had told her that God would make her food last until the drought was over. And that had to be hard. But are you willing to give your last? Or can you trust God because he's worthy to be trusted? And if we look at verses 15, 16, it reads as follows. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Glory be to God. 16, and the barrels of meal wasted not, neither did the crude of oil fail, according to the word of God, which he spake by Elijah. Scripture, y'all. But you see, through her obedience in Elijah's request, God provided food enough for Elijah, the woman, and her son. You see, the widow's barrel of flour and a jar of oil never ran out. You see, the lesson for the believer is this, that if you walk in fellowship with the Lord and obey him, he will open his will. Come on, y'all. And when we are in the will of God, he fulfills all of our needs. And his grace and mercy to us never run short. That should be good news for somebody tonight. Hallelujah. And if we look at verse 17 to the last verse in the lesson, verse 24, and it reads as follows. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. The lady, her son, dies. And 18, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sins in remembrance, and to slay my son? 19. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft, where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. 20. And he cried out unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? 21. And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again. And he retrieved. 23. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chambers into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thou son liveth. 24. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of God is in your mouth. See, when that part happened, when her son was raised from the dead, she began to have full faith. You know, not that her barrel of meal just some kind of way kept, stayed full, and the oil stayed full. She knew she wasn't going to get any. But she confessed that now I know that this art the man of God, and the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is true. You see, her son fell ill and died, and the widow was concerned that God had remembered her sins because the man of God was there. You know, she thought that since Elijah was there and he was a man of God, and she knew her sins, so she was looking at it as if her sins was being revealed and the death of her son was punishment. You know, I have a lot of people that I deal with on different basis that, you know, they might have was in a relationship and was married. And when they were married, they might have committed adultery. And then they get married again, and the person they married, you know, them and that person finally get a divorce, and then they marry someone else, and the person they marry do adultery on them. And, you know, they say, well, you got to reap what you sow, and, you know, and you got to, it happened to me because I did it. But God is not keeping score. And yes, we have to answer to our sins by consequences, not by the penalty of death, because Jesus took away our sins. But we are responsible for our consequences of our sins. But God is not playing tit for tat. He's bigger than that. So the lady began to wonder if, you know, that's what was happening. He still trusted God, because Elijah didn't know if God would raise him from the dead, but he trusted him, and he did. You see, after the prophet raised her son from the dead, the widow proclaimed that she too trusted in the God of Elijah, and that his words were the truth from God. You see, when things happen in our lives, we sometimes start to think about our past mistakes. And watch this, our right now sins that we may be in. And I said we. And even our lack of faith for the reason of our situation. Maybe I should believe more. Maybe I need to study more. Maybe I need to give more tithes. You know, we start pulling up all this negative stuff, and Satan is just weighing you out. But you need to do this. You need to always remember that it could be a test. You remember Job? It could be just a trial, like the Hebrew boys, Or God arranged it to mature us, like he did with the Israelites in the wilderness. And everything he do, you might can't understand it, but it's for his glory. Because that's what we were created to, give him glory. Hallelujah. So, after looking at this beautiful scriptures and seeing how he did in the life of the widow and how he chose Elijah with his shortcomings and all of that, I just want you to know that God always gives us evidence, always give us the evidence needed to fully trust him. Not in some things, but in all things. There is nothing too hard for God. And you see, I like to say that we live in a dispensation of time of no excuses. And what I mean by that, nobody's going to have the opportunity to go before God in eternity and say, why you didn't, you know, or you should have. God is not leaving no will unturned so that you can fully trust him. You see, he gives us the blessed assurance in the word of God. Everything is there, 66 books, Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah. Every question you could ever ask, the answer is there. Every example you need in your life, the character is there. So I want to ask tonight, have you received and then believed enough to trust him? Is it enough that he sent his only son to be born of a woman so that he could take on flesh to be able to be a sacrifice for you? Hallelujah. Or when he walked, talked, preached, healed the sick, and gave sight to the blind, even though he was rejected for you. Or when he was tried and found guilty, even though he committed no sin, he went willing to the cross. And oh yes, he could have come down, but he stayed just for you. He was buried, and on the third day he rose with all power in his hand, taking away your past, your present, and your future sins, and not just your sins, but all of the sins of the world. I have to ask you, are we there yet? Hallelujah. Before he went, after he rose from the dead, he stayed on earth for 40 days and showed himself to different people and went in different places. And when that was over, he ascended and went back to the Father, where he now sits on the, oh, I forgot this. He went back to the Father, but before he left his Holy Spirit. And when you accepted him, it came to live in you, and it fills you, and it aids you, and it guides you, and it comforts you. And it's going to do it until he comes back for you. There's a scripture in Philippians says that be confident of this thing, that the work that God has begun in you, he's able to complete it until Jesus returns. Now, just think of this for a while. The work that God has begun in us. In the scripture in Psalms 139, it says, I formed you in your mother's belly. He said, I took my hands and I wove your innermost part. But the scripture in Philippians says, the work that he has begun in you, he's able to complete it, hallelujah, until Jesus comes. And I just need to say, or is it enough? Is it enough? While he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf, telling God, I understand why she feels like that. I know how it feels when people turn their back on you. I know how it feels when they lie on you and talk about you. He said, because I was down there. And there's nothing you could go through that Jesus hadn't went through. So you can't even tell him he don't understand. And he was crucified. And I'm sure many of us won't get crucified. So we can't tell him he don't understand. So I leave you with tonight, if it's enough, then just trust him. Not with some things, but with all the matters of your life, knowing that he can and he is willing, able to work all things out together for your good. That's a mighty good God. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to make a comment, say a prayer, sing a song, give words of encouragement, you could press the one button on the phone. You know, that lesson tonight could have been for just, could have been, you know, tailor-made for someone. You know, but if anybody would like to say anything, you could press the buttons on the phone. Caller, your number is 504-858. Your mic is open.
Yes, Sister Diane, this was truly a blessing because this lady really showed the faith, because the average person would not have done that knowing what they have in front of them. And for someone to come up and say, you know, to go ahead on and to do these things. So that really showed her the faith that she had to trust him to go and to bake this here. Cake for him, and to have this extra flour and oil left for her, because I know if somebody came up to me and I know that's all I had, and you came up to me and said, you know, if you do this here, that you're gonna have more, and I'll say, you know, this person's got to be crazy because I know what I have in front of me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was,
you got to realize, because the scripture let us know too, at that time she didn't have that much faith.
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't so full of faith, because at the end she said, now I believe. But you know, the scripture always tells us that we just have a little faith like the size of a mustard seed. It can move mountains. Come on now. Because you at the level where you at for whatever reason. And with God, that faith is 100% in a sense, because everybody not going to learn at the same level. Everybody not going to experience at the same level. So God knows our ability even to, he said he gave all of us a measure of faith. And why they would say a measure, because all of us is not the same. But at the time, the little faith that she did have, she extended.
Yes,
and then he
going to
tell her, he said, go ahead.
Yeah, and then after that, after, you know, her food supply was multiplied, And then her child turned sick.
Yeah.
And I was just got, you know, just like just went crazy. You know, here I've done what you said, and then you came back, and you're gonna take my child away from me.
Right.
And then he, you know, he went on and that's when she really realized.
Mm-hmm.
That he was a man of God.
You know. Yes, that's right. But I still thank you, my sister. I thank you for expounding on what we had heard, and it may be someone, the way you explain it, they got it even a little bit better. And that's why I say all the time, this is our Bible study, and it's here, and God arranged it this way so all of us could play a part in it. And I thank you so much, sister, for sharing the word of God with us. I have another caller. Caller, your number is 225-614. Your mic is open.
I just want to thank you, Sister Diane, for taking your time and letting the Holy Ghost use you. I heard this story so many times, but it just seems so clear, and it just was illuminating. And I just thank you for letting the Lord use you and giving us your time every Wednesday.
Thank you, Sister Lolita. This is my godchild, you guys. She just was saying, Sister Diane. But this is my oldest godchild. Her name is Lolita, and I love her so much. And I thank God for what he's doing in her life. And I thank God for the journey that me and her embark on day by day in our lives, and that, you know, the relationship that he had allowed us to have. So I feel blessed, and I thank God. You know, I really feel blessed because sometimes, you know, the Bible teaches about when Jesus went to his hometown, the people say, oh, that ain't nothing but Joseph and Mary boy, you know. And yet, you know, my sister's on the line, and my aunt is on the line, my godchild is on the line, and many of my other family members get on the line. Then I have church members on the line, and then I have neighbors on the line. And that's like really wonderful because people really get to see me, you know, and it's just not just on this line, and they still decide to call. So I thank God for that, and I love you so much, Lisa, and I thank God for the woman you have become, and I'm looking forward to the rest of our journey in life together. And you be blessed.
You're welcome.
Caller, your number is 504-256. Your mic is open.
Yes, Sister Diane. Thank you for that lesson on tonight. And it did clarify a question that I asked about earlier today, me and my coworker, when we called you on the prayer line.
Okay.
And I got much better understanding, and maybe that's what the minister was trying to say, Elijah instead of Eli.
Right.
And I'm asking for prayer tonight also for my coworker, Alphonette Williams. Her daughter was in a bad accident today. I don't know how she's doing, but she was in a car wreck, and she was going through x-rays. And I'm asking prayer for her husband. He lost his mother. I mean, his mother passed away this week. And also, after the mother passed, the sister was put in the hospital, and she's in ICU. So I'm asking for prayer from each and every one of you all tonight for that family. And also for Whitney Mercandale.
All right. This is the Pam, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I love you, Sister Pam.
I love you, too. And you can't do nothing about it.
And Sister Pam called me up with questions. That's why I tell y'all, if y'all want to, if y'all have questions, if you want, really, if you guys want me to teach on any special, you're not special, but if you want me to teach on a, on a, on teach a lesson on something that you figure you need or would like to have as a lesson, you can just call me. Or you could say it on a program, but so many of you guys appear to be so shy, you know,
mm-hmm.
even though when you talk and nobody don't know you. And don't be afraid that you're going to mess up, you know, and the only dumb question is the one that's not asked. But just like Sister mm-hmm. Pam called me today on the prayer line number, and we talked in fellowship and studied a little bit, and it was so exciting to me. Because whenever I get to speak and expound on the word of God, they say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I speak, I hear myself, so I'm edifying myself in the Lord. And that's why I welcome it so much. But thank you so much, Sister Pam.
Thank you.
Anyone else before we go to into prayer? And if someone would like to pray, you could press the one button and I'll open your mic and you could pray for us and with us. Anybody would like to pray? God is not putting it on anyone's heart tonight to give us a prayer, because you can, the mic is, you know, I could open your mic. Well, we're going to go ahead and lead, go out in prayer, because in all things we should pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, love of my soul, eternal Father, everlasting Father, our, my Master, my Lord, my Savior, my King, my Priest, hallelujah, my all in all. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, my comforter, my God, my protector, the one who illuminates your word for me to go before your people. Holy Spirit, who allowed me to come before the people on Wednesday. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, precious Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And Lord, we have two requests for prayer tonight. Lord, we have Miss Effinette Williams, dear God. We asking that you pray for her family and her daughter that was in an accident and her husband's mother, dear God, who passed. We asking that you be with the family and walk with them and talk with them, dear God, and let you know that you'll be the mother to the motherless. You'll be a father to the fatherless. And that if, you know, God didn't make no mistakes. God is a God of enoughness. And we thank you for that, dear God. However many days our loved ones have, you designed the time, and it's enough. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for Wednesday night Bible study. Thank you for all of the callers, dear God. Thank you for the people in Africa and the different countries that calls in, dear God, because it comes through the airwaves, and I get to get the, I'd be able to get the stats, and for that I say thank you. Lord, if it's your will, we plan to meet here again on next Wednesday night. And Lord, I pray that you allow the word to be illuminated and revelated for your people. And I pray that the people come with a spirit of expectancy, expecting to understand it, expecting to hear from God personally, expecting to have something that can help make a change in their life. Lord, I ask all of these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. That's our lesson for tonight. And if there's no one else would like to say anything, we're going to close out for tonight. And if it's God's will, we'll meet back again. And you guys know my desire for all of us is that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God. And good night.